thanks for downloading the audio podcast of this week's sermon. We pray you'll be blessed and encouraged with the words you hear.
You don't need me to tell you that we live in a world where there is a lot of inequality. There are very, very rich people, and there are very, very poor people. There are people who are all of us, who have been privileged, who have been educated. There are people who, for love nor money, couldn't get an education. There are healthy people. There are sick people. There are beautiful people. There are a few ugly people in the world. That's an inequality. And there are people who are loved, and there are people who are unloved. But this evening, I have got some really good news for you from the Apostle Paul. And we're going to turn to the book of Romans chapter 1. And we're going to, we're going to leave here blessed and encouraged tonight. You are going to leave here blessed and encouraged when you hear this good news tonight from the Lord. Hold me to it. If you're not blessed and encouraged, you can get a refund. Romans 1, verses 1 to 7. Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle and set apart for the gospel of God, the gospel he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures regarding his son, who as to his human ancestry was a descendant of David, and who through the Spirit of holiness was declared with power to be the Son of God by his resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ our Lord. Through him and for his name's sake, we received grace and apostleship to call people from among all the Gentiles to the obedience that comes from faith. And you, this is the two verses I want to focus on tonight. And you also are among those who are called to belong to Jesus Christ. Oh, you're not blessed already? Well, I'm blessed even just reading that out loud. To all who are in Rome, right, I'm going to not change that as I'm changing the scriptures, but I'm making the contemporary application. To all who are in Ballymoney, Elim, on Sunday, the 29th of May, 2022, to all who are in Ballymoney, Elim, who are loved by God and called to be saints. Have you had that triple blessing yet? That's a blessing. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I have 3 points tonight. The first one is a lot longer than the other two. I always need to say that because, if it's 15 minutes in the first and you're thinking, oh, no. Like, no, the first one's a lot longer. Now, I don't presume loads of you follow celebrity gossip. Maybe some of you do. Maybe some of you like a wee bit of it. But even if you don't, you cannot have escaped the news reports in the last few weeks about that court case involving Johnny Depp and Amber Heard. Do you all know who I'm talking about? Right, if you don't, I don't know what world you're living in. But anyway, it's a case where we have had an open window, if you like. We've seen the ugly truth behind the glamorous image of their very sad and very short-lived marriage. Many people look enviously at other people's lives, and in this generation, more than any other, people look very enviously at the lives of celebrity, glamour kind of people, say, oh, if only I could be loved like they are. You know, get the million-dollar house, get the huge car, get all the jewelry. If only I could be loved like that. Well, in a time when people, even ordinary people, are posting images of public images of their seemingly idyllic relationships, keeping the cracks well covered over, and some people think, if only I could be loved like that. Because here's the bottom line. We all want to be loved. We all want to be loved. Maybe when you were a child, you wished that your parents would have loved you better. Now, we all think, well, you know, as parents, we love our children to the best of our ability. Parents love their children unconditionally, selflessly. But truth be told, many parents do not love their children in this way. Some parents are so caught up in their own lives, their own ambitions, or their own crises, that they actually don't love their children in the way that they need and the way that they crave. Some parents resent their children. They regard them as an intrusion into their social lives, as a restraint on their freedom, as a drain on their resources. Some parents are ashamed of their children. They're embarrassed by them. They haven't lived up to their expectation in terms of their behavior or their achievements. And other parents use their children to vent their frustration or their anger in their own lives. And still others are abandoned by their parents and go through life with that sense of no security and a constant fear of rejection because they haven't been loved. So being loved, even by a parent, isn't a given. And if you've grown up not having that real, unconditional love from your parents, you may have grown up with a sense of never being good enough, of never really been worthy of anybody's love. If my parents didn't love me, why would anybody love me? You think, well, that sounds like the sort of teenage angst. You know, that's the kind of thing teenagers wrestle with. I have met people in their 80s who are still wrestling with these questions of, am I worthy of anybody's love? Could anybody love me? As I said, some people, many people, look with envy at other people's relationships and feel everybody else is more successful in love than I've been. And maybe if you haven't been loved by your parents, or you have or have had a very unhappy experience in marriage, you think, I have failed in love. Maybe I am unlovable. What is it about me that has made my partner treat me in this way? Why have I been so badly treated? Why have I been disappointed in love? Tonight, I look over this congregation. I see your faces, but I don't see your heart. I don't see your mind. I don't see the emotions that you're maybe battling with right now. Private, painful memories, thoughts, a sense of brokenness. But I'm here to tell you one thing tonight. You are loved by God. You are loved by God. You are loved by the Lord God Almighty. And there is no love in this world like God's love. That was Paul's message. That was the message to the Christians he was writing to, and it's still the message today. You're loved by God. Oh, there can be no message as amazing and as wonderful as this, to be loved by God. You might want to start raising your objections. Well, I've been rejected by so many people in my life. It's impossible that God could love me. Maybe at this moment your mind is being assaulted by all your sins, by your failures, and you're thinking, this message must be for the others, for somebody else, surely not me. Maybe how you have been treated by people who ought to love you, maybe how you've been treated by them has made you feel so small, so insignificant, so hurt. And you think, basically, nobody takes notice of me. How could God see me know me, and love me. But you are loved by God. He does see you. He does notice you. You say, well, why does he love me? I ask, why does God love me? Two things I know about this. He doesn't love me, and he doesn't love you because of anything lovable in me or in you. Well, is that not a bit putting down? No, it's not. Romans 3:10 to 12. There is no one righteous, not even one. There is no one who understands, no one who seeks God. All have turned away. They have become together worthless. There is no one who does good, not even one. That tells us who we are. So the truth is, God does not love you, and this is against a lot of contemporary preaching, you might note. God does not love you because of something special about you. No, no, that's not the truth. That is not how the Bible proclaims it. God does not love you because of something amazing about you. God loves you because he is God. Because he's God. And he has chosen to love you, even in your sin. That's the amazing grace of God. Surely, Christian, tonight, this is what ought to give you and me our sense of identity. We don't have to go about crawling about in this world, groveling about in this world, thinking I'm a nobody, whatever. I am loved by God. We sang it tonight. You're a good, good father, and I'm your child. That's who I am, because I am loved by you. It doesn't matter if you're rich or if you're poor. It doesn't matter if you've had an education or if you haven't. It doesn't matter if you're beautiful or if you're ugly, but I'm pleased to see there's no ugly people here tonight. It doesn't matter if you're a genius or if you can't write your own name. It doesn't matter if you're super healthy or you're sick. None of this determines your identity. You're loved by God. That's who you are. That is who you are. God loves you because he has chosen to love you. His love was demonstrated by the self-giving sacrifice of his son. God loves you so much, he will never let you go. Marriages break up. Marriages are constantly breaking up. People letting each other go. When you are bound to God, he will never let you go. You may feel you're slipping away, but I can assure you, he will never let you go. Jeremiah 31:3, I have loved you with an everlasting love. There's your security. If we truly understand God loves me, that is the most healing truth there is. It sets us free from the lies of the devil. I was thinking about the immoral woman that Jesus met at the well in John chapter 4. In and out of marriages and relationships, what was she looking for? She was looking for love. She was looking for security, but she never found it. She met Jesus. And in that moment, she found healing, forgiveness, acceptance, loved by God. That set her free. I was thinking about Mary Magdalene, that woman who became tangled up in darkness, possessed by seven demons. Jesus set her free, and the love of God conquered the darkness in her heart. And she followed Jesus faithfully. I was thinking about Paul, the author of this letter to the Romans, a persecutor, a murderer of Christians. How come he didn't live the rest of his life tortured by that, carrying that heavy baggage of his persecuting past. He didn't, because he knew, I am loved by God. Love by God. And that frees us from the baggage of the past, because we know if he loves me, he will forgive me and set me free. I was thinking about Peter. We heard about him this morning, who in the heat of the moment, loudly, publicly denied with cursing that he even knew Jesus. And he became one of the great apostles of the early church. Why? Because he depended on being loved by God. The grace and the forgiveness to start again. Do you need to hear that tonight? Do you need to hear that there is grace and forgiveness to start again? That's what being loved by God offers to each one of us. I was thinking about Zacchaeus. Well, he could easily have been walking around in shame and disgrace, acknowledging he had been stealing in public office. But no, after he met Jesus, he was living free. He was living free because he experienced the love of God in Jesus Christ. And he was able to live out the changes that Jesus brought to his heart. That's what the love of God is and does. He loves us, not because we loved him, but because he is God. He changes us through the sacrifice of Jesus. And there's not a scale on his love. I love this. You know the way there's the children on the scale, and maybe the first ones loved greatly, spoilt rotten, and then the ones in the middle are a bit abandoned, and then the baby of the family, they're also spoilt rotten. At number four, I just spied my mother a minute ago. At number four, yeah, I don't think I was spoilt rotten. Number five was, but his wife's not here tonight. Number five was probably spoiled. But there's not a scale. See, with God, equality of love. Equal love. Do you know you're loved as much as the Apostle Paul was loved? Do you know you're loved as much as Jesus is loved? The Bible says that. I've never preached in that. That's a mind-blowing sermon for another day. Kent Hughes, he's an American teacher, author. Here's what he says, talking about the love of God. And this is thinking about John chapter 3, verse 16, the most well-known verse in the Bible. He said, here's how he recounts thinking about how loved he is. For God, the greatest lover, so loved the greatest degree, the world, the greatest company, that he gave the greatest act, his only begotten Son, the greatest gift, that whosoever, the greatest opportunity, believes, the greatest simplicity, in him, the greatest attraction, shall not perish, the greatest promise, but the greatest difference, have the greatest certainty, eternal life, the greatest possession. Fellow believers, we are loved by God. We need to get used to it, but we should never get over it. And then secondly, you are called to belong to Jesus Christ. Says that in verse 6. And all, you also are among those who are called to belong to Jesus Christ. Being part of something. Some people just feel that they're kind of outsiders. They never really fit into any group. They never fit it in at home. They never fit it in at school. They never fit it in at work. Well, when you become a believer, you fit in. You belong to Jesus Christ and to his family. God has called you to belong to him. Isn't it wonderful? He welcomes sinners. That's what we are. sinners. He welcomes sinners into his family. He chooses sinners to come to him. He cleanses them by the blood of Jesus. He said, you're part of my family now. He takes our past away with all its filth, all our spiritual deadness. He chooses not to remember it. He makes us into a brand new person in Christ and says, you belong to me now. Don't you love that? That ring on my finger there, what that ring signifies is I belong to Graham. His ring signifies he belongs to me. Every day I twirl that ring about. My fingers have got a bit fat and I can't get it off. But I twirl that ring about. Every day I twirl it about. I belong to him. He belongs to me. That's great. I love belonging to Graham and I love him belonging to me. But it doesn't even compare. I belong to God through Jesus Christ. And he belongs to me. Friends, the privilege of it. The privilege of it. 1 Peter 2. You are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, now you have received mercy. Maybe you have spent your life wondering who you really are. Maybe personal identity has been a bit of a struggle for you, depending on your circumstance. Well, if you're a Christian, you don't need to struggle for a moment longer. You are loved by God, and you've been called to belong to him. You are somebody's. You're God's. How great is the love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. I love how the Apostle John puts that in there. It's like that. That's what we are. You didn't decide to become a Christian. I didn't decide to become a Christian. The Bible makes it clear. We were dead as a dodo spiritually. Dead, utterly dead. And God, in eternity past, he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. And at God's time, he began to speak to us through the power of the Holy Spirit. He convicted us of our sin. Jesus said, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. And God started his drawing, his wooing process. That might have been years for some people. Ours for others, it's just so different. But the truth is this, God did it. God did it. He chose us to belong to him. And then finally, we're called saints. I don't know, what kind of image does that conjure up in your head? Saint? Do you see a medieval painting? Old painting with a kind of halo or a glow around somebody or something? Well, I think the image that doesn't come to mind when you hear the word saint is yourself. You know, when you hear the word saint, do you think, oh, well, that's obviously me then? No, we don't tend to think like that. Me a saint? I don't think so. I know what I'm like, and saint wouldn't be the best word to describe me. The Catholic Church say sainthood is something you can only become after you've died. You had to have lived a very good religious life. You have to have done at least two miracles, after people have prayed to you in heaven and you've interceded for them. On that basis, it's very, very hard to become a saint. But that's not what the Bible says. That's a teaching of a church. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says, if God loves you, if you belong to him, you're a saint. Have a wee look at the person beside you. Do they look like a saint? What does a saint look like? All Christians are called saints. And it's another way of saying you've been made holy. You have been made holy. When God saved us by his grace, he made us holy. For many people, probably particularly from a Pentecostal heritage, the word holy and holiness can conjure up fear and dread. You think, it's that big list of things you're not allowed to do. That is not holiness, that big list of things you're not allowed to do. Holiness in the Bible is absolutely positive. It's not negative. We have been separated from everything that was sin. We have been separated from the stuff that separated us from God. And God says, you are holy. You are declared righteous in my sight. That is who you are in Christ Jesus. You are loved. You are called to belong to me. I call you a saint. And you'll spend the rest of your life working out these truths. Saints are the holy ones. And again, we shy away from it because we know ourselves. We know our sins. We know our weaknesses. And we think, I'm not quite holy enough to fit into that category of saint. But that's because we don't understand how God works. When God says, you're a saint, it's a positional statement. When God says, you're righteous, it's a positional statement. He said, it's happened. It's already happened. Positionally, I've declared you righteous. You're a saint. And the moment you become a Christian, you become a saint. But because of our position of being a saint, we are then able to become a saint in practice. We are made holy the moment we become a Christian, but then we are to work out that holiness in our lives and to grow in that holiness as we mature. So we have to start working out our day-to-day lives, what God has already worked into us. So from tonight, folks, you need to start living out your sainthood, okay? So that it becomes more evident to the people around you that you actually are a saint. We laugh because it still sounds a bit weird to us, but it's the truth. It's the truth. Sometimes we look at our lives, the struggles, the failures, and we say, am I even a Christian? Never mind, a saint. But none of us must move away from these wonderful truths. I am, you are, loved by God. I and you, if you believer, you belong to God through Jesus Christ. And I am, and if you're a Christian, you are a saint. How each one of us lives this out day by day is a direct result of what we truly believe. Not what we say we believe, but what we truly believe. Doctrine matters. You get many modern Christians who say, I'm not interested in doctrine, I just love Jesus. You need to be interested in doctrine. This is doctrine. Loved by God. When you were dead in your sins, you were loved by God. You are loved by God. That is a doctrine. That is a truth. You have been called to belong to God through Christ. That is a doctrine. You're a saint. That is a doctrine. But we need to learn to live it out. Three simple, three profound truths. It's the miracle of salvation, is it not? And if you don't yet know the Lord here this evening, and you've heard these words about, wow, being loved by God, belonging to Jesus, being a saint, you say, could this be for me? Yes, for you. For God so loved the world. The world. that he gave his one and only Son, his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. What a promise. It's for you tonight. He loves you. Friends, live in the freedom that Christ has bought for us on the cross. Let's pray. Lord, sometimes we get a bit overused to this truth that you love us, and we maybe just don't stop to really appreciate how incredible and amazing that is. That you, the one who flung stars into space, who created this whole world for your glory, that you, Lord, love us. Thank you, Lord. We are humbled by your love. Thank you that you have called us to belong to you in a world that has seen billions of people in it, and you have called us to belong to you. Lord, that is a mystery in itself, and it is your grace and mercy. And again, all we can do is say thank you. And thank you that you have called us to be saints. Help us, Lord, as we enter into this new week, to live in our identity in Christ. Who we are. We are who we are, Lord, because you are who you are. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. And your love
is great. Thanks for listening to this week's podcast. If you would like any more information, have a look at our website at www.ballymoneyelam.com.